The title of the sermon is Being Content in All Circumstances. The text is in Philippians chapter 4. Verses 10 through 13. Let us read. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked an opportunity to act. Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let us bow our head and pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace and mercy, for the gift of salvation, through the great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our guarantee of that salvation. Thank you for your word, through which we are edified. And I ask that you prepare our minds and hearts to receive it. Have mercy on all of us. Give us more of your grace so that the preaching of your word may encourage us to be content in all circumstances. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The main theme in the letter of Philippians can be expressed with one word: encouragement. In this letter, we are encouraged because regardless of any circumstance we may face, we know that God, who redeemed us, who justified us, and sanctified us through the shed blood of his Son, will also provide for our needs. And he will be our source of strength and preserve us in Christ Jesus. In this letter, we are encouraged because regardless of any circumstance we may face, we know that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In this letter, we are encouraged because regardless of any circumstance we may face, we know that our citizenship is in heaven and our sovereign Lord is Lord over all the nations, which includes our own. And as citizens and soldiers of his kingdom, we will continue to fight the good fight of faith, knowing that our Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ, has absolute dominion and power over all creation. But our greatest encouragement is that one day we will be rescued from this world of sin and be with him in perfect paradise. What a beautiful letter of encouragement. In today's sermon, we will focus on the contentment of those who trust in the Lord. First point we're going to consider: we are content in all This includes good and bad circumstances, because God alone is our provider. He loves us. He knows what we need and is perfect in all that He does. And the secret to our contentment is to trust in Him continually and patiently. Second point, we are content in all. Again, this includes good and bad circumstances, because the Lord is our strength. And the secret to our contentment is to trust in Him continually and patiently. In the first part of verse 10 of the text, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." Here we see the source of Paul's joy, Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote these words, he was under house arrest. But yet he rejoiced in the Lord greatly. We should stop here and consider the word greatly. Paul greatly rejoiced in the Lord despite the circumstance he was in. There are times when we struggle with profound sadness, fear, anxiety. And although our emotions may be controlled by the Holy Spirit, this obviously doesn't mean that we can avoid experiencing those emotions. And considering this, we can safely assume that Paul couldn't avoid them either. Especially when he wrote to the Corinthians saying that he came to them in weakness and fear and in great trembling. And that during an affliction in Asia, he had even despaired for his own life. While under house arrest, Paul wrote, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all." When Paul said this, he was illustrating his life being poured out in the service of the Lord, but yet he rejoiced and wanted to share this joy with the Philippian church. Here we see a clear example of the joy of the Lord being experienced in the midst of suffering. The secret of such joy is trusting in the Lord, and the result of this faith in God is contentment in all circumstances. The unbeliever cannot understand this concept because it defies human nature. It defies all that is logical. And to them, it is simply delusional. Paul, in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, said that those who are in Christ do not grieve like those who have no hope. Such suffering without hope can lead to total desperation, which can lead to alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and even suicide. Isaiah the prophet wrote that God keeps in perfect peace. I'm going to repeat two words. Perfect peace. All whose mind is stayed on Him. I'm going to stress one word. Stayed on Him. Because they trust Him. One thing that we must always remember is God's faithfulness to us does not depend on the circumstances we face. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. God is always on the throne, and He will always be faithful to His promises. If our Lord God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," we can trust in Him because He will never break His promises. Regarding this, Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. And we are content in all circumstances because our precious Lord, who is our peace and our joy, is always with us and will always be with us. Jesus gave us his peace. He gave us his joy. Regarding this peace, Jesus said, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor fearful. And regarding his joy, he said, these things I have spoken to you, so that my joy, his joy, may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Not partial. Full. We understand that our Lord Jesus Christ is our strength. He is our shield. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our joy. What more can anyone ask for? Not only did he die on the cross for us, which is sufficient, but yet, by grace, he is all these things to us. Yet there are times when we act and speak as if he were none of these. This is when we truly understand what Paul meant in Romans chapter 7 and Galatians 5 regarding the evil nature in us that opposes the desires of the Holy Spirit. But even during these times of doubt, our Lord God is faithful. He is merciful. And by his grace, we experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We confess our sins. He forgives us. But not only this, he also understands the suffering we are experiencing. Regarding this, the writer of Hebrews wrote, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need." In the Gospel of Mark, we have an example of Jesus experiencing the worst of our human emotions just before he was arrested. Jesus went to Gethsemane with his disciples and told them to pray. Jesus, deeply distressed and troubled. I'm going to repeat that. Deeply distressed and troubled. Told Peter, James, and John that his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He then went a little beyond, fell to the ground, and began praying. I'm going to repeat, he fell to the ground and began praying. And Luke tells us that while in agony and praying fervently, his sweat became like drops of blood. Now, sweating blood is not a figure of speech here. There is an actual medical condition called hematohidrosis, which occurs in rare cases when a person is suffering from extreme stress. Considering these things, we could only imagine how he must have felt as he prayed. On the cross, he knew he would experience the wrath of God, something that was entirely foreign to him from all eternity. Most of us who have suffered greatly may say we went through a lot, but we'll definitely have great difficulty relating to what Jesus had experienced. This is what the writer of Hebrews meant when he wrote that we should not grow weary in our struggle against sin because we have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in our striving against sin. Although our precious Lord had experienced the worst of our human emotions and had experienced a horrific and very slow and painful death for us, the writer of Hebrews also wrote that Jesus, who for the joy, I'm going to repeat that, who for the joy that was set before him, this horrific death, he endured the cross. Here we observe Jesus setting the example of experiencing extreme suffering, but at the same time acknowledging the joy of the reward that was promised to him, his church. That's you and me. The joy of knowing he would save us and be with us forever moved him as he took every painful step to his death on the cross. That is indeed the greatest demonstration of love that anyone can ever express. Regarding this, Paul wrote, "For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, Christ died for us." The Lord demonstrated his great love for us when he willingly suffered and died for us. And we demonstrate our love for him by obeying his commandments, depending on him, glorifying him, enjoying communion with him, and accepting the cost of being his disciple, which involves a whole lot of suffering for his sake. Regarding the cost of discipleship, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Jesus made it very clear that if anyone wanted to follow him, there would be a cost to pay. Not for their salvation, but the cost of being his disciple. Regarding this, Peter wrote, "For to you have been called, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." I'm going to repeat that. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Now, knowing this should not cause any of us to worry or to be afraid. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In the book of Acts, we read about the apostles who, after being beaten by the Sanhedrin, rejoiced. Why? Because they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the sake of Christ. Now, have you noticed how often the word rejoice is used in verses that involve suffering? Why does Paul say rejoice in the Lord always? Again, I will say rejoice if it were not possible to do so. Why would Jesus say blessed, meaning happy? Are you, when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you, because of me, if it were not true? The main issue here is our faith in God and trusting in His Word and doing so continuously and patiently. That is the issue. Regarding this, Paul wrote, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In the first verse of the text in Philippians chapter 4, Paul expressed his joy because the church had been able to send him some support. But he also wanted to let them know that he has learned to be content in all circumstances, even in the most difficult ones. Considering this, we can understand that the support from the church was not the main cause of his joy, but Christ, who provides all that we need. As we all know, it pleases the Lord to use his church to bless others. In Romans 12:8, we read about one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit called the gift of giving with generosity. Those with this gift love to share with others the overflow of blessings God has given them. Now, these gifted people should never seek any attention, but must always glorify God because it is God who moves them to give. In fact, they should try their best to give anonymously so that those who receive the blessing will glorify God alone. Jesus referred to this when he said, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when we give, we must also do so joyfully. And as a side note, it would be wise for pastors to not know who these gifted people are, so that they too can glorify God alone and rejoice in the Lord greatly. Considering these things, we must always acknowledge that God has given us all that we have and will provide all that we need. God is always faithful. How many times have we heard that He's always in control? He's perfect in all that He does. He's perfectly good. He loves us perfectly. We therefore are content in all situations because He is always on the throne. He knows exactly what we need even before we ask. He is always faithful. He loves us unconditionally and eternally. And not only this, but all that He has given us and will give us is perfectly good for us, even when we have no idea how. In Psalm 84 and 85, we read, indeed, the Lord will give what is good. And no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly in Christ. Regardless of any circumstance that we may be facing, we know that nothing can thwart the will of God. How often have we heard that? In His Word, He has promised to never leave us. How often have we heard that? He's promised to be our provider. But we must always remember that God has also commanded us to pray. Regarding this, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek it, and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. James said, you do not have because you do not ask. Now, what exactly do these verses mean? It doesn't mean that we can view God as a cosmic genie, but that we should pray continually. When God, through His Word, tells us to pray without ceasing, what does that mean? It means to not give up on prayer. It means to continue as often as we can. Impatience may cause us to stop praying for something or someone in particular. Impatience may cause us to stop praying for something or someone in particular over a certain period of time without noticing what we are doing. We are giving up on prayer because we haven't received an answer yet. But we must always remember that God always answers prayers every time we pray. His answer may be yes, no, or wait and keep on praying. If His answer is yes, praise God. If it's no, praise God. Because His will is always perfect and good. And if His answer is no, God will make this clear to us. And if it hasn't been made clear to us, we must keep praying. Now, some may still ask, but how will God make it clear to me? We shouldn't concern ourselves with how He will make it clear to us. But just know that He will. If God cleared the way for the Israelites to pass through the Red Sea, He can make His answers very clear to us. Now, the root issue in these situations is often a lack of patience and momentarily forgetting that God's timing is different than our own. Regarding this, King David said in Psalm 31:15, "But I trust in You, O Lord. I say You are my God. My times are in Your hand." During difficult circumstances, waiting patiently on God can involve a lot of suffering. But remember that such suffering is a trial of our faith in God, so that we can learn how to depend more on Him, submit to His will, and learn patience. Joseph waited while suffering in prison. Job waited while suffering intensely. Paul experienced 3 beatings with rods, a stoning after which he was left for dead, being shipwrecked 3 times, being adrift at sea for a night and a day. He was continually humiliated by a messenger from Satan and suffered imprisonment. Yet Paul wrote that in any and every circumstance he had learned a secret, trusting in God in and any and every circumstance. Trusting God in any and every circumstance. Can I repeat that? Trusting in God in any and every circumstance. Trusting that He can continue serving Christ. That's what Paul had trusted God. That's how Paul had trusted in God, to continue serving. To continue serving the church. To continue preaching the gospel. When Paul wrote this letter, he was waiting on the Lord, suffering yet rejoicing, and sharing his joy with the Philippian church. And like Paul, we too know that secret. The secret to our contentment is Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That faith that came from God as a free gift by His grace. The faith through which we can always trust in Him regardless of any circumstance we face. Why? Because He is Lord over all creation. We are content in all circumstances because we trust in Christ, who is our strength, He is our joy, He is our peace. We are content because though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. We are content because we know that any affliction we may experience is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. When we allow ourselves to continually focus on difficult circumstances and our weaknesses, we have taken our eyes off of Christ, who is our source of strength. When this happens, our actions reveal our inner discontent, and sadly, we demonstrate to others our lack of faith in God. Now, it's important to reemphasize that although we can't avoid negative emotions, this doesn't mean that we should allow them to control us and to harm our testimony. In verse 11, Paul wrote, "Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am." Here Paul made it abundantly clear to the Philippians that although he thanked God for their support, he trusted in Christ as his provider. And in him he rejoiced, how? Greatly. In verse 12, we read that Paul knew how to get along with little. In this world of sin, we have often heard about the haves and the have-nots. The haves are those who have plenty. The have-nots are the poor who look at the haves with scorn. This is a clear example of how the world views those who have little. To the world, it means being unhappy and envious of those who have plenty. But according to Paul, whether he had a lot or a little, he was joyful in the Lord, content in all circumstances. If he had little, he had received it according to God's grace, according to his perfect will. And he was content because he knew God's will and purposes are always perfect and good. In this world of sin, many believe that money is power and possessions are a source of joy, and that the more you have of both, the more content you'll be. But the scriptures tell us something entirely different. For example, the writer of Hebrews simply and clearly said, "Be content with what you have." Now, those who trust in God as their provider and as the source of their strength are content regardless of whether they have a lot or a little. This is what Paul meant when in verse 12 of the text he wrote, "In any and every circumstance I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." We've reached our second point. We are content in all circumstances because the Lord is our strength. And the secret to our contentment is to trust in Him continually and patiently. In verse 13 of the text, Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Before we consider what Paul meant when he wrote this, it's important to take a closer look at verse 12 again, where he mentioned that he had learned a secret. He wrote that it was the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. This sentence is a little unclear until we fully understand what he meant. First, we understand that being filled and going hungry obviously relate to food, and having abundance and suffering need relate to the essential necessities in life, like clothing and shelter. But what does Paul mean when he said that he has learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, and of having abundance and suffering? The secret is that he did not trust in the amount of food or possessions that he had. He didn't trust in the people who helped him. The secret was that he always trusted in the Lord as his provider and source of strength, regardless of the situation he was in. Regardless if he had a lot or a little. Although he was grateful to those who helped him, his trust was not in them, but in the Lord. When our refrigerator is continually full, and the resources to keep it that way are readily available, and our essential needs are continually met, let us always remember to express the same degree of gratitude to God as we do when such things are lacking. The secret to doing this is to always trust in God and be content with what we have, because God provides according to His will, and His will is always perfect and good. That's why. Paul referred to this when, in his letter to Timothy, he wrote, "But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." Now we come to verse 13. Paul wrote again, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Now, this could be the second most popular verse of the Bible. John 3:16, the first. We hear it often, we see it often. But sadly, it's probably also one of the most misinterpreted, misapplied verses in the Bible. Many believe this verse means that they can become millionaires or even have the influence and power to change their spouses. Imagine that. In the context of the passage, there is an emphasis on obedience. Obedience to serve God and others despite suffering. Despite whatever obstacle we face, there is also an emphasis on trusting in God alone to give us the strength during those difficult times to be obedient to Him, to serve Him, to serve others, to edify the church, to evangelize. Considering this, we understand how to interpret and apply the verse to our daily lives. We understand in any and every circumstance, we can serve God and others through Christ who strengthens us. In our daily spiritual walk, we often realize that the Spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. And by faith in Christ, we fight the good fight of faith on a daily basis. But when facing very difficult trials, when the flesh is at its weakest point, we fall at the feet of Jesus and trust in Him, because He is our strength and our refuge. He is our peace. In Him we can greatly rejoice as Lord and Savior. And in Him we can be content in any and every circumstance. We thank God for His word. May God richly bless each and every one of you.